प्रियं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Thank you everybody for coming. Just to indicate my any qualification for sitting here is that I am the last person I was doing the first class. So it's good enough for Vinayan Prabhu did a very good evaluation of who is qualified to give this session. In fact, he called me today morning to say that, hey, I don't think it's your session today. He called me. He said it's Mataji's session today.
Last week he got confused.
Yeah. So I said, I know you want that it's not my word. I don't think Mataji will be happy if you tell her that it's your session. So it's my good fortune. And please forgive all the many mistakes which are going to happen. Especially in front of Govindcharan Prabhu, who has seen my faults all the time. Okay, so we'll start. This is 1.6.20 to 27. I was actually unfortunate. I missed quite a few sessions lately. Missed Madhav Gaurang Prabhu session also, where the story of Narad Muni, after his mother actually departed from this world, he left to the forest and he went through the cities, the villages, through the forests, etc. And just wandering about and searching for the Supreme as per what he had received the instructions from the Bhakti Vedantas. And then he felt thirsty when he was in an uninhabited forest. And then he drank some water from there, from which his thirst was quenched. And then he sat down to meditate on the Supreme Lord within the heart, as per the instructions which are given by the, as he had heard from the Bhakti Vedantas. So, Narad Muni is very, very special and very, very pure. So as soon as he sat down, he had the vision of the Lord within his heart. But he became overwhelmed with that. And all the senses of his body got overwhelmed, trembling, I guess, or something. He couldn't actually see himself or the Lord at that time when that happened. And then the Lord disappeared after appearing for a little bit, then he disappeared. So Narad Muni then got very perturbed, and he then tried various means. This is the verse just before, I think, 1:6:19, and he tried various means to be able to see the Lord again, right? So, but it's like Yashoda Maya trying to tie the Lord, and doesn't happen with just our own effort. So Lord did not actually appear after that. And this is the start of this session, that the Lord then does appear. So first, Lord appeared in his heart that he could actually see. And now there is a different kind of a sight that he will have, that the Lord actually does appear again and instructs him. So there will be two sections to this, that the Lord will appear and Lord will instruct Narad Muni. So we will see what is the instruction of the Lord to Narad Muni. And then we will see that Narad Muni, how he follows those instructions. So now we are saying Narad Muni, but he is not yet Narad Muni. He is a child. So the child, Lord instructs the child, and the child follows his instructions until his death. But I was thinking of the example of what Narad Muni would have felt when he saw Dhruva Maharaj also going out in the same way, same 5-year-old child, and he was actually trying to test, right, Dhruva Maharaj. I could think that Narad Muni himself was 5-year-old, right, at the same, you know, in the same situation before. He actually got the instruction and he also followed it, just like Dhruva Maharaj later on followed it. So we'll start with the first verse. Oh, sorry. So you can chant this. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswati vyasam natodayam udiraye nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishiti. So this is the first verse. We can chant all the verses together, or should we? There are seven or no? I don't know. I missed the past few classes.
We have time to finish.
Yeah, we might be running late, right? Okay, there is no one. Okay, so okay, we can just say it all together. We'll try it. Evam yatantam vijane mam agasocharo giram gambira shlakshaya vacha shuja prashamayam iva. Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane description, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words just to mitigate my grief. So Narad Muni was attempting to see the Lord, and the Lord then mercifully, just like with Lord Yashoda Maya also, in the end mercifully the Lord actually spoke to him. So the difference is that first time Lord appeared to him, and now Lord is appearing to him in the form of sound, as opposed to being seen. But also Bhagavatam is so beautiful that the word uses a gochara, beyond the range of physical sound. So actually Lord is beyond all sensory perception or beyond the range of sound, but still he can speak. So the word itself is agochara, which is used. Gochara, go is senses. So agochara means someone who is beyond the range of the senses, beyond the range of sound, but still he could speak. he spoke. And he spoke with gravity and with pleasing words. I was thinking that was an interesting combination. If you want to mitigate somebody who is very disturbed, right? So you won't speak very lightly to him. At the same time, you won't be very harsh with him. So it has to be pleasing words, because you know it would be pleasing words, but at the same time it will be grave. So that's a very good combination, that you have to be grave, at the same time you can be pleasing. Right? That's I was thinking, amazing. Bhagavatam, even with a little bit. Even with the minute details, are so beautiful. I could not actually find, unfortunately, much verses, much lectures on this. Mataji might also be there. There are not much lectures. I only found a couple lectures, one which are in the sixth chapter on ISKCON Desire Tree. One is by Radhanath Maharaj, where he doesn't really talk specifically much about, he speaks about the entire life of Narad Muni, so you can capture something. And Mahanadi Maharaj's one lecture, 1.6.27. Also, he also in that starts only a little bit in the start about that. So obviously the main thing was Bhurijan Prabhu's, and which is also very short, but within his few sentences he packs some information which I have tried to get. And other than that, I have tried to just write down something which I felt, so I want to share that, and then wherever that can be a discussion, because if something is not appropriate or something, but I thought, okay, if there is something, whatever I felt I could relate to, I would try to write that accordingly. Okay, so the first point, couple of points in the purport. Purports are also very short in this, but Prabhupada first, in the end of the purport, Prabhupada says that the devotee always feels pangs of separation. So because Narad Muni was feeling separation from the Lord, so he said that's what a devotee, a pure devotee obviously, but even a devotee feels pangs of separation from the Lord. But that is not some grief, actually that is transcendental ecstasy. It's with the viraya that we have from the Lord, that is transcendental ecstasy. Now this is something that I just thought, which I thought at that time, that we may not feel separation from the Lord as such. I cannot feel separation from the Lord. No, I'm missing Krishna or something. I cannot feel that way. So what can I, huh?
You are not separated.
Good, thank you. I should end this class if I say yes to that. No more qualification to speak anymore. False ego has reached the Mount Everest now. Okay, so we can't feel separation from that, but what can we feel separation from? Not that we try to feel separation, but what can we feel separation from?
Devotees.
We can feel separation from Krishna's devotees. We have this, like Rompal Maharaj had made a nice statement which I always try to remember, that Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. So whenever you think Krishna, you have to think Krishna and his devotees, because you can't think of Krishna. So that could, so all Krishna's other paraphernalia, so we can feel separation from Krishna's devotees, his name, his service, or Krishna Katha, anything that we feel separation from. But do I try to feel separation from that? That's also not advice that I'm trying to feel separation. You can't really try to feel separation. So then what do we do? We actually don't feel separation, but Prabhupada says devotee always feels separation. But it's not an explicit attempt that I make to feel separation, right? So what should we be doing, Prabhu? What do you think? You want to say something? We just try to be sincere in our work. So then it happens automatically. So if we are just be sincere, if we are sincere in whatever we are doing, then slowly it will act that we will feel naturally, because the covering will go away slowly and slowly, and now the natural attraction towards the, and this is the theme which will come later on also, the natural attraction is currently there to something else. It's not that we are without attraction. It's not that we are without missing anything. I don't miss anything in my life. It's not like that. We're always missing something. We're always hankering for something. But the hankering is for things outside, for material things. So that hankering will, cheto darpana marjanam, where the covering goes away. So the hankering, instead of going towards the material, now goes towards the real spiritual thing. So it's just a change of the hankering, which is, so the idea is I don't try for the separation, but I just be sincere in my efforts. So now the next point was perceiving the Lord. The child here perceived the Lord, right? So Prabhupada gives few points about the perceiving, that the Lord is above perception of the senses. Still, out of his causeless mercy, he makes himself perceptible. It's just his mercy that he makes himself perceptible. But to whom? To one who he is pleased with. Only to one who is pleased with. But not to the non-devotee. So which verse is this in the Bhagavad Gita? He is not... No. That's the four types who do not approach him.
He covers eyes with
Naham Prakash Sarvasi. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency. Right? So I am never manifest to them. So the thing is, you can try to remove something, but Krishna has this thing of the yoga maya. It's you never can take it out. So that's even for the impersonalists or others, even the advanced yogis, they can never understand. So only bhaktya mama bhijana, only the devotees can know that, not so because the Krishna is pleased with them. So Krishna, it's not a bhakta also goes and opens it up or something. He said Krishna is pleased, so Krishna will let that happen. And now the important point is Narad Muni was in a way able to see the Lord or hear the Lord. But he was not perfected yet. That is also the theme which will go through these verses. And Narad Muni moves in these seven verses from not being totally perfect to perfect. So it's a special gift only for Sri Narad that he could see the Lord, or in this case hear the Lord, even during the probationary period of devotional service. Even during the probationary period. That's not true. Prabhupada is a very special soul that even during the probationary period he could get that opportunity. That would not be possible, that, you know, for regular devotees. So if I am saying one day I saw Krishna for a moment like that, that's, you know, that that's an hallucination, right? But Narad Muni is not a hallucination. So it's a special gift for Sri Narada. Prabhupada immediately in this purport just clarifies that. Okay, so that's 1.6.2, that he is able to see the Lord, which is a special mercy of the Lord. These are the two points in this. And the next one is Hantasmin Janmani Bhavan Mamam Drashtum Hiharvati Avipakya Kashayanam Durdarshoham Puyoginam. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. So, this verse, the first point in this verse is Supreme Personality of Godhead is most pure, completely pure, right? So who can actually see who is completely pure? Who can approach or who can reach him? Who can reach the one who is completely pure? Huh? Somebody who is completely pure. Somebody who is completely pure can reach, can only approach. So that's the first point Prabhupada is clarifying in the purport. He is most pure. And one who has the slightest tinge of materiality cannot approach him. So then how can we approach him? How can I approach him? So there was an interesting conversation which Prabhupada, almost all of you would know. This question was asked Prabhupada in one of the lectures. He actually said this, that, you know, if you have slightest tinge of materiality, you cannot reach the Lord. So this we have discussed in Bhakti Vaibhav also before. You want to share?
Yeah, sure.
No, go ahead.
Share.
No, go ahead.
I think that's 90%, 100%, that one, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember the details. Please
yeah.
Share.
So then everybody was very dismayed by that. That why this is happening? You know, they said, oh, Prabhupada, you know, it doesn't seem like a possibility at all. They're completely be pure, totally devoid of. So Prabhupada was looking at them mercifully and then he said, okay, 90%. He said, if you are 90% pure, then you can be. Then if everybody was, he could still see the display on the faces of people. So Prabhupada said, okay, 80%. So then he came down to 70%. People were, he could still see that people were like, okay, it doesn't seem like we can reach there. So in the very end, Prabhupada said, I think after the session or something, I don't remember exactly how that happened, but maybe after the session or something, or Prabhupada said, somebody said, just catch on to my dhoti. I'll take you there. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. This is the mercy. I mean, what kind of, or Prabhupada's representatives now here. Imagine Harilas Prabhu here creating this temple and this, and I have a special slide on that, by the way. That we have everything here and we just have to catch on. Just stand beneath this pink Govardhan Hill, and then we are being saved from, although in spite of all the, so we have to just hold on to Prabhupada's dhoti. This is the mercy, but it is clearly, otherwise how impossible is that? What kind of hope we have here? So that's the first point that is being made. Now the second point is that, what kind of impurity did Narad Muni have? So Bhurijan Prabhu in his book writes, this is shocking. You read that. So Bhurijan Prabhu, he starts the point with saying, this is shocking. What kind of impurity does Narad Muni have? So Prabhupada, you should see the beauty of Prabhupada's, you know, just the beauty of Prabhupada's language. You probably read the least Bhagavatam amongst all of you. But it's the beauty of the language, how he says about the impurity or indicates the impurity of Narad Muni, but doesn't really say that directly. Doesn't really say directly that Narad Muni has this impurity. But he still brings that across so that we can understand that. So that's how Bhurijan Prabhu writes in his listening. Prabhupada indicates us, you know, gives an indication to what could be the impurity in Narad Muni. You know, it's beautiful how it's just the beauty of the language describing the whole thing is, it's really amazing. How he doesn't say, so Narad Muni had this impurity and that's why this is a, he doesn't write like that. He really brings it across in a way. It's very poetic, actually, just like all of his purports generally. So, what is the impurity in Sri Narad Muni with three question marks? And that answer is, anybody wants to make it, anybody who has not read the purport, Mataji has memorized the purport, anybody who has not read the purport, and you all, many of you would have, but anybody who doesn't know from the, but what could be the impurity in Sri Narad Muni? Who is a child at this time, not yet become Narad Muni, but same soul. He said, right, okay, you are not totally pure, you can't really see me anymore. So what is the impurity in Narad Muni? Anybody wants to say anything? Prabhu, you want to share? You might know everything. Just make some guess, man. It's not like there is a, this room is closed, doesn't go outside. I am also blabbering here, so.
Ustream is there. Ustream is recorded.
Oh, Ustream getting recorded. I want to delete this one, by the way. Okay. I thought my own recording is only going on, which I don't have to share with anybody.
You want to say something?
Go ahead.
Because he doesn't have a spiritual master.
No, yeah, he pretty much. Yes. Prabhupada actually writes that. He writes that he is like initiated from the Bhakti Vedanta.
Like, they only give instructions.
Yeah, so he did accept them within his heart. He carried out his he gave mantra, they gave mantra also.
That's the initiation mantra.
Right. Okay. And then he meditated also based upon their instructions. So he has a spiritual master. Anybody else you want to make a guess? Forget about the Ustream. This is going to get deleted.
So he okay. had, because when the Lord disappeared, he was trying to meditate his own, like maybe something related to that, like something he was trying on his own.
No, he was not actually. That's it. Because they says, I was meditating as per the instructions from the spiritual. And but even later on, I think he would be doing in the same way. It's not that he would be changing.
Maybe he was trying to, I don't know, maybe that's is that a point.
I think he was just repeating the same thing. That's my understanding. So he was not trying on his own, no. Narad Muni, no, that would be, no, not that kind. Anybody else? One minute. Mataji is memorized purport, so that's a different, yours is a different. Radha?
I
Okay, so there are three kinds of impurities in this world. One is mode of passion, one is mode of ignorance, and third is mode of goodness. So which one is the impurity in Narad Muni?
Mode of
goodness. Okay, so mode of goodness is his impurity right now. And that's a very beautiful explanation in that regard. That the steps of purity, Prabhupada says, is first of all removal of passion and ignorance. And what shows passion and ignorance? Kama and Lobha. Kama means desire, and Lobha means like really avarice, or that he uses in the word in the purport, but essentially complete greed. So this passion and ignorance for material things, which let's say I have a lot, I can see, yeah, it's passion and ignorance, it's not goodness. So I have that thing within me. So Narad Muni has left after his mother left the planet. He left for the forest. He went through the cities. He went through everything. But he didn't stop there. So Prabhupada also, I heard that in Radhanath Maharaj's lecture, I think. He said he could have stopped in the cities.
Yeah.
Right? He could have stopped in the cities, because if you are all alone in a, you know, when you have nothing to go by, maybe in a city you have a better chance of getting some employment or doing something. But he didn't stop there. What is the proof? He had no desire for anything material. No desire for anything material at all. So this is the people who are in the cities, like our city, have some desire like that. That's also true. But then you have to remove the goodness also. That the mode of goodness is also there. There's a word which Prabhupada used, which maybe people can, he says mode of goodness is a balanced mode of nature. And I didn't really understand why the use of the word balanced. So maybe you can share, or somebody else can, if you know why that would be called balanced mode of nature. But that's what Prabhupada says, it's a balanced mode of nature. And Bhurijan Prabhu in his purport says, in quotes, balanced mode of nature. So Prabhuji should have explained that why. So
I think passion is increasing, ignorance is decreasing, goodness is maintaining.
Oh, that way could be. Yeah, okay. So maintenance wise, so that way balance is like.
Yeah, it's balanced.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's what it is, yeah. Ignorance is down, passion is increased, yes. Thank you. Thank you for being here to explain that. So now, this is something that I heard in another of Radhanath Maharaj's lecture, but some time back, in which this was just, he was reading from Prabhupada's purport, one of his purports. The searching for God, according to different places, in different places that you search God in, God for in, there are those are in different modes. So this was really very fascinating for me, something that could be remembered. So if you are searching for God in searching for God in the, you know, you go to, you know, whether you brothels or nightclubs or things like that, that's in the mode of ignorance. Okay? But searching for God in the city is in the mode of passion. Or what is in the mode of goodness? Forest. So the going in the forest is mode of goodness, because you don't want anything which is, you know, it's, you know, you don't want anything from the city. You don't want any, you don't have any material desires. So it's in the mode of goodness. Or what is transcendental?
The place of worship.
Because you know everything now. So you're going to answer, please don't answer all the questions. So transcendental is the temple. So Prabhupada says in the purport that it's transcendental is the temple. Okay, so this is so then the next point which is made in there is that for the neophyte devotees of the Lord, it is recommended that they don't go to the forest for cultivating their devotional service, but instead they worship the deity in the temple. So the process of archana. Is the start of the is for the cultivation of devotional service. It is recommended for the neophyte devotee to do that. So the neophyte devotee, so that's an important point to consider. We should not be going to the forest, but we should be staying, because that's transcendental, whereas going to the forest is in the mode of goodness. And then the next point which is made here is that Narad Muni, as a child, right? As a child, when Narad Muni was there, then he was going to the forest. But there's a difference between that Narad Muni and the current Narad Muni. What is that difference? That's another key point of today's set of verses. What is the difference between that Narad Muni, the child, who went to the forest to search for the Supreme, and the current Narad Muni?
No, he doesn't stay in a place.
He doesn't stay in a place, yeah?
He wanders preaching.
Yes, he wanders preaching. Exactly. So that's another second point which Prabhupada brings in that. That in the current life, Narad Muni is roaming around everywhere throughout, you know, throughout the material world, etc. In fact, he can be in Vaikuntha, and then Radhanath Maharaj says in his lecture, why doesn't he stay there? If he can be in Vaikuntha, then why doesn't he just stay there? Because he wants to, you know, as a service to the Lord and as a service to the conditioned living entities, he still wants to come here in this Mrityulok in order to enlighten people, to preach to the people. And now, then another thing Prabhupada has said so many times, as I heard in Maharaj's lecture, is that we are in the line of Narad Muni. So what should we be doing? Going to the forest? Not the first Narad Muni.
Shouldn't aspire to go to Vaikuntha.
Yeah, well, no. Do both. No, do both.
You can go to the forest. A lot of people have already gone there. So rescue them, you can go to the forest.
Yeah, you can. He sometimes goes to the forest. Like he went for, you know, Migrari and all that. So he sometimes goes to the forest. He doesn't just stay there. He was in the forest when Dhruva Maharaj was also going to the forest. So he does that sometimes. But then he comes to Kamsa also. Then he comes to, you know, Daksha also. And he comes to those people also, actually. One time I heard in one of the lectures that early 1966, 67, something like that. And one of the Western devotees, in 22nd Avenue. And then Prabhupada is sitting there and devotees are sitting there, something like that. And one of the Western people walked in. Unknown guy. Nobody has seen him before. Totally unknown guy. And he walked in. And then he looked at all of these people, all the people who are sitting there. Huh? Didn't look at Prabhupada, just looked at all of them. I don't know if he looked at Prabhupada before that or something, but he looked at all the people and then he said, "You're all mlechhas, mlechhas." And then he walked away. So what's intriguing about this? He's a Western person, nobody has seen him before. And he's just walking into 22nd Avenue and he's saying, "You're all mlechhas." And he walked away. So just think from a logical point of view, what doesn't click right in this?
Because he himself is...
No.
How does he know the term?
How does he know that term, mlechha? He's a Western guy, nobody has seen him, he's not a devotee or anything like that. How does he know that term? So you know what's the mystery behind that? Huh?
He read Prabhupada's book.
No.
Did somebody call him mlechha?
No.
He was practicing earlier.
No. I mean, you can. There's no way you can guess that. But if you have heard that, Prabhupada looked at. I don't know if he looked at devotees or something, but he said, "That was Narad Muni."
What?
Prabhupada said that was Narad Muni, and then he started continued his.
Where was this?
This 22nd Avenue. I heard in one of the lectures. No, I've heard in one of the lectures. So don't. But I heard in some Maharaj lecture. I don't know which Maharaj, but I have heard in at least maybe one or two lectures this thing. I don't know if I have. I don't know about Vedavis because this may not be Vedavis, right? This is not. But I heard in one or two lectures like that. That was Narad Muni. I think, I don't know, Shamsundar Prabhu, one of the, somewhere, this is obviously early, this is very early, 66, 67, something like that. Anyways, so that's the recommended for neophyte devotees. And then Narad Muni's current life is preaching instead of going to the forest. So what we should be doing as followers of Narad Muni, we follow in his footsteps. So I just jot down this thing called all on a platter, right? So you can guess what is this slide about? This is not in Prabhupada's purport.
Prasadam.
Prasadam, yes. So what is real prasadam? What is the mercy of the Lord?
This class is becoming a test.
I'm sorry, I have a day. I might be exceeding my time, but that's like...
We wanted to hear from you, Prabhu, not... Right, exactly.
Okay, so maybe the class has been given by you people, not by me. Which is better for you also. So all on a platter means what we have here. So we have the best transcendental environment. We have one of the best temples. Enthusiastic, energetic devotees like Madhav Gaurang Prabhu are here. They're very loving also. Then we have, on top of that, these wonderful things. We have the most, we are in the most wealthy country in the world. We are working for one of the most successful companies. Some of you are working for the most successful company. Some people are working for other companies. High salaries, beautiful neighborhood, minimum travel. I mean, we have everything, right? So, so all the...
She added one.
What is that? What is that?
Lots of prasadam.
Compatible wife.
Compatible wife. And
come.
And in some cases a compatible husband also. Right? So we have all of these things. So what should we be doing? So we should preach, because we should follow the example of Narad Muni. Because we are in a transcendental environment of the temple. We don't have to go to the forest, and we are getting all of that along with all the material desires getting satisfied completely. So it doesn't get better than this, you know. So that's why the goal should be to preach. Next one. Sakritya darshitam rupam etat kamayate naga mat kama shantay sadhu sharvan vanchanti hrichaya. Oh, virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. So now, so this is the second point, which says, after saying that you're not really qualified, so that is why you won't see me anymore, then he starts his instructions. After that, right? So this is the start of the instruction. So first point is, you have only once seen me in person, and what is the purpose of seeing you in that I gave you that darshan? So that it increases your desire to serve me. That is the purpose. So that is the important point. Why does the Lord show himself? For this purpose only, so that we increase our desire. And then we will talk about the second point. Then the more you hanker for me, the more you'll be freed from material desires. Once your desire gets increased, you'll be freed from material desires. So finally, so the Lord shows you so that you increase his desire. And then when your desire gets increased, your material desires get reduced and you are liberated. So this is, the Lord is doing everything for this particular purpose. So I was just something that I just wrote down, that Krishna makes himself perceptible directly or indirectly. In many cases, we may not see Krishna directly like Narad Muni saw, but actually indirectly, in many ways, in devotee's life, Krishna appears in some way or the other, right? Like we had an example of one of the Matajis who came to our home, you know, this Nitai Prabhu's wife. Mandali Mataji. She was a brahmacharini in New Vrindavan a long time and all that. And then she married one of Radhanath Maharaj's disciples, Nitai Prabhu, who lives, and they still live in New Vrindavan. She's a very good, especially in deity worship. So she was sharing a wonderful pastime. And how many of these happened especially with pujaris or others? They were saying that one time she made something for the deity, and she was not sure if the sugar was right or not. So she just put it there. And while she put the offering, she made the offering, and she was just sitting there. I mean, sitting on the side, you know, just sort of meditating. But that thought was going on in her mind, that I have put sugar, but I'm not sure if it is enough or not. Okay? So now, imagine what happens. She actually feels something falling on her head. She feels something falling on her head as she is sitting down, you know, in front of the Lord or something like that. She sees something falling on her head. And she's like, what is that? And that thing falls. So guess what is that?
Sugar.
That is sugar. Sugar is falling on her head. And it's going down like that. And she's like, and then she's like, my God, she's like bewildered at that point. And then she actually looks up and she sees, I think it's her sister or somebody. And her sister is pouring sugar on her head and just laughing. And she's just like joking with her, just putting sugar on her head. Oh my God, she obviously she just went and put sugar in the Lord's offering.
Oh, is she?
Can you believe that? This is Lord, this is Narad Muni's pastime, pretty much. It's something like that. So many of the, especially pujaris and other things and all that.
Was the sister really there? Or like,
That's what she told, she said at that time. She said, I couldn't believe somebody can you imagine somebody joking like that they are putting sugar on your head? But that's what she said. I couldn't believe that she was joking like that. I don't know if it was her sister or her friend or...
Exactly.
That's my understanding. She said, I remember, we can talk to her, but I remember her saying that, I can't believe, have you heard somebody joking like that? That's what I... Okay, anyway, so even if there is some discrepancy, we can... that can be clarified. Hopefully this Ustream is not getting recorded. I'm talking things which people might say this is wrong. But the idea is that this thing happens. These kind of things happen. Like I heard in Brihad Mridanga Prabhu, who is now Brihad Bhagavata Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj's disciple. He was saying that in one of the lectures that pujaris actually, Krishna reciprocates with the pujaris, definitely. He said otherwise, that's how he keeps the pujaris close to him. He said that he will do. He was pressurizing. He was giving the lecture in Radha Gopinath. He was telling the pujari, it's not possible that you never had any experience. It's not possible, he's saying. He's saying because Krishna will reciprocate. He does reciprocate sometime like that. So anyway, so the point is that why does Krishna reciprocate like that? Even Mukunda Prabhu has shared many of such sometimes small things he shares like that, right? So many things. So why does Krishna reciprocate like that? So I was saying that's Krishna is saying, you have seen me once in purpose, that's only so that it increases your desire to serve. That means we are not helping Krishna serve, achieve his objective if our desire is not getting increased, we're still getting attracted to other things. So we should be feeling more attracted to Krishna by that he is present actually. So anyways, okay, we are getting pretty late, right? Okay. So we'll try to rush through this. Sorry, I'll try to move faster now. So the first point is, hankering for Krishna. Then the second point is, what is hankering for Krishna? And Prabhupada says in his purport, hankering for Krishna means hankering for his service. Okay. So his service and his person are identical. Service to Krishna means seeing Krishna. And now the other point which we can see is, the only means to see Krishna is through his service. This is one of the verses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sevan Mukhe Jiva. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Griham Indriya Sevan Mukhe Jivadu. So that's the point, that service to Krishna is seeing Krishna. So when Krishna is saying your hankering will increase, that hankering doesn't mean anything else but service. My mood for service to Krishna should increase. So now Prabhupada actually says in the purport, you choose your hankering. Something like that. You can't be without hankering. You will always hanker for something. So just make the choice what you want to hanker for. So if you choose for material hankering, it leads to entanglement. If you choose for liberation, if you choose for Krishna's service hankering, if you have some hankering for that, then it leads to liberation. So hankering for Krishna leads to freedom from material hankering. This was a point in the purport. If we hanker for Krishna, it will lead to material hankering. I was thinking it also the other way around, true, right? If we hanker for material things, it reduces our... So it happens the other way around too. So we better go on the positive side, because otherwise we keep going on the negative side and both cannot go together. It's either Maya or Krishna, right? So So the hankering for Krishna's service will lead to freedom from material hankering. Right? So now, the other point which Prabhupada makes in the purport is about what is the nature, but there is a difference between these two hankerings. So there is hankering for Krishna, there is hankering for Krishna, where is hankering for material things. So there is a clear fundamental difference in the hankering of these two types. One of them is natural to us, second one is not. That's the point. One thing has to be natural to us. Second one is like the fish living in water. Water is natural and outside of the water is not natural. So that is this one. The more you satisfy the hankering, that is, how do you satisfy the hankering? By engaging in the service. So now you are sad. You have the hankering, you satisfy it by engaging in the service, right? But the more you satisfy the hankering by engaging in the service, the more you hanker for it. Ad infinitum, just keeps going on and on, right? This is there in other verses in Srimad Bhagavatam also, which we will go through. And what happens with that is you get eternal, which means real, ever-increasing satisfaction. So I was trying to relate that to the Bhagavad Gita verse, that whatever is eternal is the only thing which is real. Like, what is that verse, Prabhu? And whatever is temporary, nasato. Yeah, nasato vichate bhavo. So that's the point, that there are two kinds of things. One is temporary, one is real. One is temporary and one is eternal. So what is temporary actually has no value. That's the point. It has no value. That's why it's unreal. Whereas what is permanent is the only thing which is value, that is the real thing. So this thing is the real thing. The other thing is, and that's the ever increase. And that, because it is real, that's why it gives you the real satisfaction. The other thing doesn't give you the real satisfaction. And that's also, you know, like in Bhagavad Gita's verse, Sushyanti cha Ramanti cha. You enjoy that. You relish that. That's because, you know, and eternally. So that's the point. It is natural to the soul. Why? Because that is the parodharma of the soul. That's the real dharma of the soul. Other thing is not. The other thing is a covering. One of the thing has to be a covering. So the material hankering is, now Prabhupada uses this word in the purport, with the material hankering, law of satiation applies. Did you study that in your engineering? No. Law of satiation. So the law of satiation means that you can, law of satiation means the more, if you do it the same thing certain number of times, after that you feel bored of that. Or it will not give you the same satisfaction. The diminishing law, Murphy's law of diminishing returns. Keep doing the same thing, now I'm bored of it. It's like the toy, I want this, got the toy for some time, and then throw it away. Next one, next one, next one, next one. Because it's not really giving you. It's giving you temporary, unreal satisfaction. It's not really satisfaction. So law of satiation applies. Whether temporary, unreal satisfaction, new toy every time. Whereas the spiritual thing, same book, same work, same thing, right? Like Prabhuji, always cleaning the pots, but every time smile is increasing. the blissfulness, the more it is dark and the more his smile is more. Like, what's happening? That's not material. That's the, you know, generally I'll be bewildered if my bug is very difficult to resolve in the software. I'll be more. Here is more darker, he's more happy. What's that? That's like, that really...
Because I see it in my heart.
No, you look at me and look at that, okay, that's his heart, I'm going to clean it. So that's... So you are happy doing that, I'm going to clean his heart now. Okay. But it doesn't happen every time he's that dark. So this is the difference, right? Keep doing the same thing and better. Oh, I'm enjoying, I'm loving, you know, it's just like... Keep doing the same thing. Bhagavad Gita, 40 years, Harilas Prabhu is reading that. The book keeps getting bigger because he's writing more and more into that. It's becoming like that. It was this book, how come it became like this right now? He's writing more and more, and he's every time he's like, oh, did you see the Bhagavad Gita? He's reading as if like first time. And you're like, oh, you read that 100 million times before. But you are seeing really... It's like, oh, this beautiful thing. He's reading like that in the Wednesday and Thursday, all this class. He's reading like that as if like, what's going on here? This is, you know, apply your scientific mind and you're like, this is not the laws. The law of satiation does not apply. Period. That's it. It is different because it is natural to the soul. It is natural. What is natural has to ever increasing. Like the flower is looking at Krishna and Krishna is looking at the flower. One of the verses, one of the lectures I heard like that, that Krishna is more happy looking at the flower and the flower blossoms more and more happy, and then Krishna is more happy, then the flower blossoms more, then Krishna is more happy. And it goes on forever like that. So that doesn't happen. Here we look at a flower, okay, next one, like that. So that is the idea. And just to quickly read, so many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.18.14, the sages are saying, can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar rasa ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? Never. And 1.1.19, in the very start, we never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. There is no end to this. Now, Prabhupada in the purports writes this, mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic. Inasmuch as the spirit is dynamic and the matter is static. Again, the difference between matter and spirit. Matter is static. Spirit is dynamic. Bhagavad Gita is dynamic. Krishna's service is dynamic. Everything is dynamic. So those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities, but no one is saturated by transcendental or devotional activities. Uttam Shloka indicates that literature, which is not meant for nescience, mundane literature is in the mode of darkness or ignorance, whereas transcendental literature is quite different. Transcendental literature is above the modes of darkness, and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter. This explains Harilas Prabhu's behavior. Becoming more and more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter. So that was the second point, that Lord is appearing to increase our desire, and as the more we desire for him, the more hankering increases and the more the material desires decrease. What is the result of that hankering and service? Well, obviously we get more and more. Now Krishna is giving more in this. So I'll quickly read this because we are running. By service of the absolute truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. So he's really liking that word here. Mat janatam. Janata means? Yeah. Well, janata means person or people. So you will become my associate. If you. Mat janatam. You will become my associate by doing this. So by how? By service of the absolute truth. This is the cycle. By service of the absolute truth, now what happens other than the hankering? Intelligence comes. With the intelligence, a devotee becomes, basically the material things reduce and he becomes my associate in the transcendental world, like that. Okay, so now what verse in the Bhagavad Gita is that? By... Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tvam is basically said. So what does serving the absolute truth means? I am serving the absolute truth. That's how sat sevayam, he says. What is the serving of the absolute truth? So Prabhupada in the first verse itself clarifies, what is serving the absolute truth? Right? Like that. So like Mahatma Gandhi had, my experiments with truth. So people talk about absolute truth that way, right? So what is serving the absolute truth? Means serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of a spiritual master who is a transparent medium between the Lord and the neophyte devotee. So essentially serving the absolute truth is serving the spiritual, through the spiritual master, under his direction, the Supreme Lord. Why? Because he is a medium. He becomes that medium. So I don't know who is Krishna, but I can serve my Supreme Spiritual Master. And how will you do that? Through service. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi. Now the service gives intelligence. The Dhami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Intelligence, what kind of intelligence? By which you can come to me. Not the intelligence by which I can do something else, right? Not something else, but by which you can come to me. Give up the deplorable material world, become one of the liberated associates of the Lord. Mat janatam. So, I like that one because, so this is just a cycle. Service, intelligence. Service gives the intelligence, giving up the material world. So that's how, it's not a mechanical process in one sense. I studied this and that. Now I have the intelligence. That's how the material thing works. But here it works through service. That's why the three things which you have to do for the spiritual master, one of them is submissiveness, humility and questions, and then service. With that service, you get the intelligence. So the intelligence comes through the mercy which comes to that service. Because in a way, I was hearing in one of the other lectures, in a way, it's because through that service, what happens is Krishna is getting pleased. Krishna, spiritual master getting pleased, Krishna is getting pleased, then he gives the intelligence to you. So the idea is this. So now, he is saying that because now you will not appear, so Narad Muni or something might have a thought, what if I lose that? You are telling all these things will happen. If I do, you know, service, then intelligence will come and then I'll go back to the spiritual world. But I did a little, what if I lose that? What I did a little bit of service or something, I might lose that. Because I know it's such just a child, just did a little bit. So here he just says that intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time. Even at the time of creation, as well as the time of annihilation, your remembrance will continue by my mercy. So it will never be annihilated. Whatever you have remembered of me, whatever you have done for me, it cannot be thwarted at any time. Which is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita?
Ananya
Vikramanashas. Right? Neha Vikramanashas. But it means never destroyed. That's the main point.
That's that, your Ananda Mela ad.
Huh?
That's your Ananda Mela ad.
What is that?
That verse.
There's no loss on Ananda.
There is no Ananda Mela ad? What is that? I didn't.
Everybody pays for the ad in the Ananda Mela.
Huh?
In the brochure.
Oh, did we say that actually? Really? That was a. Oh my god, I don't remember. Okay.
We're just going through it yesterday.
Oh, really? Okay. This is the verse which you inspired Navkishore, you the most, right? In a few years back. Neha Vikramana Shosti. So, it's, but the point is this arrow, right? What does this arrow mean?
Always
going up. So put into that. So Harilas Prabhu gave a wonderful example there. If there is a bank that you are, that tells you that, you know, after a few years, we are going to rob you completely from whatever you have done. So it's like, how many of you are going to deposit in that? That, you know, they say, you do everything, but after some time, we are going to rob everything. Take everything away. Not even left anything with you. We said, what kind of people are going to deposit in that bank? So then Narayana Prabhu says, but all of you are depositing in that bank. He said, all of you are depositing in that bank. After saying you will not deposit, I am telling you are all depositing in that bank. So this is the horizontal plane of karma and vikarma, which is going on here. That's where we are. Huh?
Govind Prabhu said that in devotional life the paycheck is low, but the retirement plan is very amazing. Like material world where your paycheck will be good, but your retirement plan
is very poor. Or Mukund Prabhu said that once, that if people thought that there was another life, what would be their 401k plan? What would they be really thinking? They are planning so much, 60 years after this and that. But if they really thought, no, it's more than these lives, my real retirement 401k plan should be, man, for the next life. This is spiritual life. I do this life to prepare for the next, not for just this life. So that is akarma. Akarma means that the spiritual account balance, it's that vertical plane. Everything else is horizontal. Karma, vikarma. So you go up and that always goes up. The z-axis, as we say, doesn't have a negative side. Karma and vikarma, x and y axis are like plus and minus always going on. But the z-axis of akarma doesn't have a negative side. It is always only go up like that. So that's what Krishna is again saying that to the child, don't worry. So again, he is assuring him before he leaves him that you will get this benefit. You will. So he starts by saying, hey, you will not see me again. He starts with a warning. You only see me once because you are not pure. And then he tells him that you will, because you, but whatever you have, you know, you, if what, I'm trying to remember now. But he said, what you have done, you will gain from that. I have shown you once so that your hankering for me increases. Your hankering for me increases, you will be able to, your material desires will reduce. With that, you will get the intelligence to reach me and you will go back to the spiritual world. And don't worry, you will never lose it. Then, so that's when he ends it. And then he says, then that Supreme Personality, personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stopped speaking. Feeling a sense of gratitude, I offered my obeisances unto him, bowing my head. So, Prabhupada in the purport talks mostly about this personified by sound, but unseen by eyes. Right? So, here the main point is that main point is that the supreme, no, not, yeah, you can think about that, but the sound. So basically, you can also think like the Bhagavad Gita. What is Bhagavad Gita?
Songs.
Krishna himself, same as the Lord. Krishna himself. So when we are reading the Bhagavad Gita, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. What is the example of that in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is their example.
After Krishna has left.
Yes. Yeah. After Krishna has left, when Arjuna returns to Hastinapur, then Arjuna is very bewildered at that time. But then he gets reminded of the instructions of Krishna, and then his mind is pacified at that time. Which means that the Bhagavad Gita, he gets reminded of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says at that time, and that's Krishna himself. So the Supreme Lord is his Vani. Is his Vani. Can be seen and realized by his Vani, the Vedas. The Bhagavad Gita is identical to the Lord. Arjuna realized this on returning to Hastinapur after Lord's departure. So what's the need then? Persistent chanting of the transcendental song. This is what Prabhupada says in the purport. The need is persistent chanting of that transcendental sound, and that will take us to that goal. So now, he says that, how much more time? It's almost 11:25 now. We started a little bit late. 5 minutes. 10:30 I started, right? Now it's our, Prabhu is looking at me as if like, nonsense. Nonsense, I have to wash you more now. Venture, try to finish, 5-10 minutes, huh? Maximum, not more than 10 minutes, hopefully. So now I know who is saying this? Narad Muni is saying this. Okay, my Lord, you came and told me all of these wonderful things. Give me a warning, you told me. I'll get the intelligence, I'll go back to you. It will not be lost. You told me all these things. Now I know, and the Lord left. So now what does he do? Now he becomes Narad Muni. Now he becomes Narad Muni. He doesn't become Narad Muni after he goes, which Mataji is going to cover next week, that he actually goes into Brahma and he comes back with his spiritual body. But he becomes Narad Muni now. That is the point that is being made. So, thus I began the chanting of the holy name and fame of the Lord, and by repeated recitation. I began the chanting of the holy name and fame of the Lord, Namani. Namani Anantasya. Then I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. So doing, I travelled all over the world, fully satisfied, humble and unenvious. So this is what he did after that. Now Bhurijan Prabhu says in his explanation is that now knowing that he can associate with the Lord not just by seeing him or directly hearing him, but by constantly chanting. By constantly chanting. This is a change in Narad Muni. And then later on also he is always chanting the holy names of the Lord. Whether he is, you know, so this is the transformation of Narad Muni. Which happens actually. So this is the that's the point. Actually Radhanath Maharaj in his lecture says, you know, chanting, just ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Does it sound attractive? He says like that. Well, obviously, so we should not try to imitate the Mahabhagavat, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. So, the child now becomes aware that he could associate with the Lord through constant devotional service. This is Bhurijan Prabhu, what he says that. Began to continuously chant like the Lord's holy name and fame. The child already began to act like Narad Muni, even in this material body. That's the point. It's not that you have to get the Sachidananda body, which he is going to get. But even before that, he started acting like that. Prabhupada's statement in here is that this verse describes devotee's life in a nutshell. So this is devotee's life in a nutshell. This is Prabhupada saying, he's saying, hey, you should be like that. Right? So what are the different things which are being said here? Okay. First point is, after initiation from the Lord or his representative, he had one single desire, vyavasayatmika buddhi, which is to go back to Godhead, which awaits them or awaits him in the near future. Okay? Then he is non-envious, not proud, fully satisfied, and takes seriously the chanting and the names and the glories of the Lord. So he's doing all of these things, right? So he's not envious because, why? Because he doesn't want anything of this world. If you want something of this world, I always want everything of this world. So that means I'm envious. Because that means I'm going to take from somebody else. So he doesn't want anything of this world. He's not envious. He's not proud at the same time. He knows his position as compared to the Lord. He's not proud of his day, so he's not even proud. And he's fully satisfied. He is fully satisfied because that kind of thing is giving Jayatma Suprasiddhiti, gives complete satisfaction to the heart. And he is single-minded, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir. Just one goal, go back to Godhead, which is through service to the Supreme Lord. And then other than that, obviously, the last and most important point, what is he doing?
Preaching.
He is actually traveling. Now another, here very important point which Radhanath Maharaj in his lecture says that he was a child who was just roaming around, right? Who was listening to him? Who was listening to him at that time? He was his child roaming around, and you know, he said, I've traveled across the world, non-envious, fully satisfied, you know, all that, and I was just chanting the names of the Lord. But who was listening to him? Yeah, so people might be listening to him, but it is possible that, yeah, definitely the Lord was listening to him. But there is some, but you know, people may or may not be listening to him at that time. So the point is that Krishna, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are sitting in the class. Doesn't matter. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if nobody has come, then you preach to the four walls. So Narad Muni, now is Narad Muni. So the greatest of all sages. But that time nothing, but the same activity. The same activity. So doesn't matter, you know, in one sense, like we hear in so many lectures, was Krishna less pleased with Prabhupada in 1964? When he had nobody around him, he was sitting alone in Radha Damodar temple trying to write it. And as compared to 1976, that he's sitting on top of Jagannath Katriyat in the Fifth Avenue of New York, and the whole world is. It's not. Krishna is not. Because the attitude inside is exactly the same to service, of preaching, like that. So those things don't really matter. So, preach to the walls even if no one comes. And Prabhupada writes in his purport, according to one's personal capacity. And from that, I think itself, I think Radhanath Maharaj derived in his lecture, probably, that according to one's own personal capacity. So it doesn't matter, the child was not Narad Muni, but he was, in Krishna's eyes, exactly the same. So that's why we can never say, I cannot preach, I cannot talk like that. Nobody can say that. Because just say according to whatever you think is okay. Nobody comes, that's fine, somebody comes. Last verse. And so, O Brahman Vyasadev, in due course of time, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachments, being completely freed from all material taints, met with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. So, this is Narad Muni in one verse. Now, it completed his life was all about going around chanting and, you know, all that, and preaching. And then, in due course of time, he was completely absorbed in Krishna, and he became totally, he was 100% purified of everything. He met with death. So Sridhar Swami in his this thing comments that Narad Muni actually met his death in his leisure. In his leisure. This is for Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Swami Maharaj. That means he death just came to him. Death just came to him. You might feel like, oh my God. So this is death of a pure devotee. Blink of an eye. Like Prabhupada said, blink of an eye. This is the death of a pure devotee. So what is the death of pure devotee? That lightning and illumination occurring simultaneously. What is that, Harish Prabhu? Lightning and illumination occurring simultaneously. Yeah, but what is lightning? What is illumination?
Self-realization.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happening like...
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as the light switches on, you see that illumination light.
Yeah, right. So the strike of lightning is compared to death, loss of this body. But illumination is immediately after that. That you got the... Immediately after that, you actually get a spiritual body. So, Oh, beautiful is Bhagavatam, just like totally. So, fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Prabhupada writes, means clearance of material dirts or hankerings. Like a rich man has no hankering for small petty things. This is a sign of a spiritually enriched person. Rich man has no hankering for these things, for the small material things. So Narad Muni, spiritually enlightened person, you know, he sees whatever pebbles and stones and everything is, you know, everything is the same, or gold is the same. He has no hankering for material things. And death at his leisure suddenly appeared before Narad Muni. For a pure devotee, death is like simultaneous. Now another point, and so he gets a spiritual body. Now Prabhupada adds another beautiful in the last statement in the purport to that. And he says, you got a spirit, you know, the pure devotee, he got his actual spiritual body at the end, after, when he, at his new birth, right? But and finally I understood the meaning, actually, this time I thought the meaning of that iron rod was with fire example. So that's the spiritual body at the end, after in the new birth. But he said, for a pure devotee, because of his engagement in devotional service, the body in this lifetime itself is spiritualized. Now, apparently it is the same in terms of constitution as such, that it is, you know, blood, mucus and all that stuff, right? But it is spiritualized. And what is the example of that? That is a red hot iron in contact with fire. Because if you see, the constituent of fire is fire. But the constituent of the iron is still the molecules of iron, Fe. The molecules of iron, that's what it is, but still, right? But it is like fire in that sense. It is still like fire because it has got in touch with fire. So similarly, the body constitutionally might be like, you know, all these molecules of blood, stool, mucus and everything. But it is like, it is spiritualized. It is in a sense, it is like spirit soul. It is like spirit. So that's why Prabhupada says that Narad Muni got that, but he said for a pure devotee, the body is also, that's why we treat the body of pure devotee as spiritualized already, because it's in so much contact with devotional service that it is spiritualized. That's the end of, now I just wanted to quickly summarize it. Some of the points in this, that one of the main points was service to Krishna. So service to Krishna means seeing Krishna, is the only means to see Krishna. And then, you know, it gives us the intelligence, it's never lost, and it leads us to the ultimate goal. So this was just one of the things which Narad Muni is seeing Krishna, but what is that actually? That actually is serving Krishna. It's the same thing. And because the only means to see Krishna is through service. And that leads to intelligence, which is never lost. Whatever you gain is never lost, and it leads us to the ultimate goal in life. And the law of satiation does not apply to Krishna's service, name, katha, etc. The more you do, the more you hanker. And it actually gives you the real, ever-increasing, ultimate satisfaction. And what is the best place for the cultivation of the service? Is temple. Not really a forest. And what is the highest activity that you can do? Is to follow Narad Muni's example. Travel and preach throughout the world as per your personal capacity. And for one who is thus purified, the change of body is like a simultaneous lightning and illumination. And in fact, what's important is not the change of body. What's important is the change of consciousness before that. Because that itself, like Narad Muni, him became like that before that itself. That's the opportunity for us to, by through engagement of service, through service to the devotees and to the spiritual master, to actually become like that even before. And then the change of body at the time of death is just, you know, continuing the same activity, but now in a more suitable, you know, body in one sense. But it is actually the same activity which continues on. Okay, thank you for tolerating me.